This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Excuse me. And I even cleared it before we got on the air. It's two in the books, one to go, 1 hour left of the big show. And the phone boards are filling up with you guys, the loyal listeners that want to get in here. You want your voice to be heard. John's been waiting the longest, over 21 minutes. John, we appreciate you. What's up, my man?
Hey, I just want to chime in on the catch, no catch thing.
Yep.
I get the, 2 feet inbounds, you got to carry it out in the end zone. But if that was a stretch for a first down, and he tucked the ball and stretched it out, wouldn't that be a fumble?
Yeah, but
so if that's a fumble on the field, why wouldn't that be a touchdown?
Okay, John, the difference is think about a quarterback sneak in the field of play for a yard to get a first down. If the quarterback right. puts the ball over the first down marker and a defender knocks it out before he's down, that's a fumble, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the goal line, as soon as the ball crosses the goal line, the play's over because it's a touchdown. That's the difference.
Right. No, yeah, I understand that. But they saying it's not a catch at all. But if he was in the field of play, at least it would have been a fumble at the most because he wasn't touched down when he stretched over the first down line. So I just don't understand why that's not a catch.
I'm with you.
I'm totally with you.
Appreciate the call,
appreciate
man. I see what he's saying, though. He's saying that they would have called it a fumble instead
right.
of, yeah.
Right.
Which I agree. And it should have been. If he was at the 5-yard line reaching for a first down, then I would have been on this show saying, yeah, that's a fumble because he gathered the ball, he turned, and he stretched it out. He made a move. So he was essentially became a runner.
No question. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Let's see. Aaron, you had called, hung up, and came back again. So, Aaron, what's up?
Yes, sir. Sorry, guys. I had to get off real quick. But, yeah, I'm just really confused, and I think everybody can agree that we're all confused on actually what is a catch and what isn't now. But
hell, the NFL's
if they're
confused.
Gonna continue to sit here. You there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, if they're going to sit here and review every play like this and say what's a catch and what isn't, my question is how come they haven't started reviewing when a fumble is actually when it hits the ground and everybody dogpiles on it? Can't they review and see when somebody actually takes possession of the ball and somebody actually touches them? Can't they actually call the possession on review at that point as compared to the ball changing people's hands at the bottom of a dogpile?
You know, it's an interesting proposition because everybody has said that's played in the NFL, it is the nastiest, ugliest situation known to man underneath that pile, and the ball changes hands several times because of the fact that it's just so dirty down there. I just don't think you're ever going to get a fair video evidence shot of what you're looking for, or it'll be rare. But, I mean, I think that if your whole intention is the spirit of the game and getting the call right, that you're absolutely right. If a player has two knees on the ground, someone else is touching him, and he has possession of the football, then if you can see that on video, you should make the right call. It's just harder in that case to get that video evidence.
I'm with you. That's the problem, I think, Aaron, because it's not that they wouldn't use it. It's just that 99% of the time, it's impossible to see clearly through the video. Appreciate the call,
though. Yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, they're going to dissect the game by these calls and reviews, four or five times a drive now, it seems like. It's just, why not do it all? Let's make the game 8 hours instead of seven.
And, Aaron, you also got to realize if they did have that video shot, you'd have a lot of people upset about the fact that you can really see when the guy's got his hands on the ball. And sometimes it's not the pigskin, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got you.
Appreciate
all right, man,
call.
Appreciate the call, Aaron. Let's keep rolling here. Let's go to Jerry!
Hey-o.
And it
is not the pigskin, but definitely some skin.
There you go.
What's up, Jerry?
But Barry, you're 100% right, man. I mean, I don't know how you would word it, but I mean, maybe just need to have the referee just say it's like their judgment call. Like, did he have possession or not? I mean, because this whole thing with surviving the ground makes no sense. Because I've seen plays where guys are going cross field, full speed, they catch a ball. As they're going down, they get 2 feet in, and then they land on the sideline. At this point, they're 10 feet out of bounds. I mean, there's all kinds of obstacles, things. You could literally get run over by a golf cart and be like, I'm sorry, you didn't survive the ground.
You didn't survive the cart.
So like, What's that?
I said you didn't survive the cart. That's a whole other section of the rule.
No, literally, because there was one play where they were on, like, the white, like, the tarp stuff that they have on the side there, and they were, like, scrambling to get, like, the best view. This was a couple weeks ago of like, oh, did he survive the ground? And I'm like, dude, he's 15 feet out of bounds. Like, it's over. The play's over. He got the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and so the other one, Jerry, that bothers me.
I definitely did my pout walk. I was angry. I turned the TV off instantly, and, you know, my wife's like, dinner's ready. It was like a second after that play happened. I turned that TV off. I did the pout walk down the stairs, and I go, you know, that's why I don't watch sports no more, because you never can get it right. And then she's like, oh, that's nice, honey. And I'm like, you don't understand. You know, angry. I threw a ball, another sock ball at her.
That is great, dude. The pout walk.
I mean, Jerry, the
awesome
one thing that I don't understand either is what I said about the Dez Bryant catch. If you do fumble that when you hit the ground, or you have possession, then you hit the ground and you start bobbling it, as long as you maintain possession and you don't go out of bounds, how is that not a catch?
I was going to say, if that was a high school game, I don't know about college rules or what, but, I mean, if you were playing Thanksgiving football, I mean, everybody who's played football as a kid on up knows, like, it's like, what is it? I don't know what pornography is, but I can tell you when I see it. I don't know what a touchdown or a catch is, but I know it when I see it.
That's a great point.
That's a catch.
Yep.
You know?
No doubt about it. Appreciate it, Jerry. Happy holidays if we don't talk to you, but please don't be a stranger.
You too.
Let's see. Let's Todd. Go to Todd. Yeah.
Hello?
Todd, what's up,
Hello?
Man?
Hello?
Todd, hey. Welcome to ESPN and 94.1. How are you?
Oh, just go Rams and Wade Phillips.
Okay. Anything else?
Real quick, my father played, was quarterback for his father for 3 years in high school and then 4 years in college, and then had one of the longest touchdown passes in UTEP's history. It wasn't a Sun Bowl, but anyway, I wanted to mention that real quick. But I had nobody mentioned about the call with the Raiders and the Cowboys. And there was one specific play there where at the very end, when he went out of bounds but yet fumbled the ball, to me, that looked like his body was out of bounds, and then he fumbled the ball in the end zone. Did y'all think that was an accurate call?
Yeah, Todd, according to the rule book, that is an accurate call. Now, whether you think, like Eric Edholm, who joined us earlier from Yahoo, was saying it's a stupid rule because you're an inch from the goal line and you fumbled it through the back of the end zone or the side of the end zone, and possession changes. Is it that? But by the rule, and it's been that rule forever. Yeah, it was clearly a fumble. Being hovering over the out of bounds doesn't make you out of bounds.
Yeah, the interesting point there is there is a plane to break when you cross the goal line, but there is no plane to break when you're out of bounds. You have to make contact with
the
field out of bounds or the pylon.
It was just a bad play made by Derek Carr. He shouldn't have done that. Honestly. It's a mistake that he's going to learn from.
The Patriots have a rule that they're writing about today too. That Belichick says if anybody outstretches the ball at any time near the goal line or the pylon, that he'll bench him because of that very fear that he has that more times than not you're going to end up fumbling and or losing possession than you are getting to where you were trying to get with the ball.
Really? He said that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So
I don't know that I want to take away my – because if you – to a person on that Raiders sidelines, they went up to Derek Carr mm-hmm. after the game, Marshawn Lynch, everybody else, patting him on the back, good – you know, basically, I'm guessing, good hustle. They knew what he was doing.
I see what you're trying to do there.
He was trying to win the game.
Yep.
Yep.
He was trying to make a football play, and any dude out there that's any kind of competitor would have been trying to do the same thing. It just, it was a freak thing that happened to him. I don't blame him, but at the same time, you're right. That very well could have cost them the playoffs because they needed to win that game. And they're not mathematically eliminated, but it doesn't look good now.
Oh, it's
probably that's why I asked Eric, what's worse? Because at least Pittsburgh's still in the playoffs,
the
but now
done.
It may have cost them home field with what Big Ben did. But this case, you could have been bounced from the playoffs now. So
no,
it's interesting, but yeah, by the rules, I didn't have a problem with the way they called that.
Call was accurate. But again, if you look at as quirky as they are, by the rules, the problem is that you have to understand that they called it the way it's written, but it's so much about interpretation still. Even the way the rule is written, it's still so much. We just talked about how many different ways it can be interpreted, you know, because of the fact that they have one rule when you're crossing the goal line, as opposed to the rule when you're just making a catch, as opposed to when you're making a football move. and one knee equals 2 feet, but when does possession actually occur? Some people are saying, which I went back and looked at the replay several times, I don't see where they're saying before he extended the ball that he actually caught it and brought it in. I never saw him really bring it in before he extended it.
Uh-huh.
But there's so many different ways that people are interpreting the rule.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm with Jerry in the, I don't know what pornography is, but I know it when I see it. Yeah. It's a catch to me.
I mean,
you can tell it was a catch. And I don't know. I was thinking, too, there's always these weird rules about offense fumbling the ball forward. I know, I think in the last 2 minutes, the only one that can advance the ball forward is the offensive player that fumbled it. But I'm curious.
Had the ball, yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious if maybe that becomes a thing, because you'll see sometimes the ball gets fumbled out of bounds and ahead. Maybe the ball becomes dead at the spot of the fumble, and that would solve the issues down at the goal line and otherwise. I don't know. I don't know how you fix it. I just don't know if I like that being down at the one-inch line. But you know what? It also doesn't bother me. Tuck the ball in or whatever. It's completely different than the catch thing to me.
Yeah, okay. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We'll get a break in. We still see all you on hold. We're going to get to Jason, Casey, Nick, Mike, and more. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the final hour of The Usual Suspects. Great show today. Lots of interaction. The phone board is full, and everyone wants to talk about the catch as we continue to roll on, with one exception, Barry. Nick, and I don't mean the man behind the glass that is moonlighting like a mother, Nick on the switchboard wants to talk about the Eagles. We'll get Nick
hey
in
guys,
here real quick. A fly, Eagles, fly, Nick.
Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory. You know it. So, about that David Carr thing real quick, the same thing happened to Carson Wentz against the Seahawks.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just a play. It kind of screwed the Eagles, too. It happens. No big deal, right? So it's already been seen twice. Talking about Nick Foles, man, that guy, I don't know why he stuck in St. Louis, but, man, he is gold in Philadelphia. So... I don't know, but I think that they still have a shot with him, because he stood in there and made some great throws yesterday and looked
Man.
Poised. So
clean game. It helps to have a nice offensive line. But he was only sacked the one time, but he had a pretty clean game, 24 of 38 with 4 touchdowns. I'll take that.
I said to you guys, you thought I was crazy, but they got a shot to make the Super Bowl because of him.
No.
And I think
Super
so.
Bowl?
Yep.
I can't
oh, yeah,
see
sure.
I can't see coming in the Monday after Super Bowl Sunday and saying Nick Foles is a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
I didn't say win it, but he can still win the NFC. That team can still win the NFC. It's so wide open.
Well.
But it happened whenever Phil Simms went out back in the 90s. Granted, that was a long time ago, but I mean it's been done before. I mean, history repeats itself.
Well, you need to be more worried about the fact that the Giants put up 29 points on the Eagles. That's
and Eli threw for like 400.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Nick. Yeah, I mean, the fact that Giants offense hadn't done squat all year, and then the Eagles give up 29, that would concern me a little more than Nick Foles, because the week before they give up 35 to the Rams. So Eagles defense is trending in the wrong direction.
We'll see.
Yep.
All right, Jason, we're going to roll through some of these. What's up, man?
All right. So, we're going to talk about the catch. It wasn't a catch. I don't think it was. Because, like what you guys said before, he catches it, and everybody keeps saying he tucked it in.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. Like, he caught it, and then he started reaching forward.
I just showed Joel the video of a different angle in the morning.
Yeah,
he pulls it into his
yep,
body,
yep.
And then he extends it. As he turns his body, he extends it across the goal line. That's a fact. Go rewatch the video.
what everybody keeps saying, all the Patriots, they're in Goodell's pocket. Did they not see the witch hunt the last 2.5 years? Like, I don't get it. They're trying to say that the refs and everybody's on the Patriots side. New York made that call, and the refs did, you know. But what I was going to say before the catch, how do you let Gronk catch 3 big games back to back to back?
220-plusers and a 17-yarder.
That's what shot
on the foot. Yep. No doubt about it. He had 2 20-plus yard catches and then a 17-yard catch in that final drive. So, yeah, that was big. No question about it. The Steelers' secondary is definitely questionable.
Not smart. Rodney Harrison was losing his mind on the NFL, on the NBC Sundays. He's like, you have to double Gronk. Yeah. I don't understand why you don't. I would double him every time. I would double DeAndre Hopkins if I'm playing the Texans.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Kenny Britt. I'm worried about the guy that's going to get every big ball from Tom Brady.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. All right, let's get at least one more in here. Casey, you've been waiting a while. What's up, Casey?
Hey, guys. Hey, I just, again, with the whole catch thing, the way it was explained to me and the reason why I believe that the refs got it right, that it wasn't a catch, and it just makes sense to me this way. If you establish possession of the ball, like with the Dez Bryant catch, that was a hell of a catch. Great job going up and getting it, but he didn't establish any sort of balance. Neither did Jesse James. If you watch it again, I'm pretty sure, I believe, Roethlisberger threw it a little bit to his left, and he had to lunge to get it a little bit. And maybe about a half a second after he caught the ball, his knee was on the ground. And the way it was explained to me is if the act of you catching the ball and gaining possession of it is before you establish any balance, which he didn't, neither did Dez Bryant, then you better maintain control. I mean, you see it all the time where little slot receivers and things like that will find a hole in the zone and just catch one right in the gut and fall down because they got the first down. If they were to do that and fall down, the ball squirts out, it's incomplete. It doesn't matter what happens. If they're falling down whenever they establish possession, if they haven't established any balance, it's incomplete. And the ball did hit the ground. I don't have a dog in this fight, but I feel like they got it right 100%.
All right, appreciate the call, Casey. I mean, I don't want to just keep repeating myself for everybody that calls, but
you and I were talking about the break. Look, the bottom line is,
I don't know what the balance part of that.
Based on the rule, and I've had Steeler fans tell me this, based on the rule, then you have to realize that the referees called the rule correctly.
Yep.
It's just a bad rule.
It's exactly. That's the thing. Am I saying that they got it incorrect by the strictest interpretation of the rule book? No, I'm not. What I'm saying is that it's flawed, and the NFL needs to reassess it, because if you haul in a ball, pull it to your body, turn to your left, and extend the ball back over the goal line, that should be a catch.
Yeah, that's how I feel. It's not a bad call. It's just a bad rule.
Yep,
I agree. Totally get it. All right, so let's go to
Todd.
Todd?
Yes, hello. Hello, real quick. Nobody talked. I was trying to get y'all to help me on the call with the interference. This is Todd Tenorio again. And interference call with Michael Crabtree at the last with the Oakland in the Oakland Cowboy game.
Yes.
Do you feel that was an appropriate call with that play there?
Yeah, I do.
Absolutely.
I do. I think it was a veteran. Yeah, I think on the broadcast they kind of mentioned that it was like a veteran move and he did what was necessary to get the call. But, hey, he did get the call. I mean, it's kind of like the James Harden situation. When you go up and he catches your arm.
Yep.
I mean, it's a foul to me. You know what I mean? I think that the call was right.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. A lot of the things that the referees look for, again, with the rule, is he never looked back for the ball. He only saw that Crabtree was making a play and immediately grabbed Crabtree. And the contact occurred before the ball got to the point where Crabtree could put his hands on it. It was pretty cut and dried, in my opinion.
Yeah, and also, are we allowing people to call twice?
is that the same dude?
Yeah, he was the one that was calling, talking about Wade Phillips and all that.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
We doing that?
Why are you tricking us like that, man?
Yeah, Todd.
I don't know, but then
dang
he...
it, Todd.
No, it was Jesse, wasn't it?
No,
this
Todd.
Time he dropped his last name. Did he drop his last name the first time?
No, he did not.
He just said Todd. It was the same dude, because he just said, yeah, my call earlier...
It's on the interns, Nick. Blame the interns.
That's right.
They
got to
do a better job screening the calls and making sure they know first and at least last initial, because we have repeat callers.
I'm the best at relaying blame. Who is it? Who is that? Who is that on the phones?
No, that's not. No, that's not.
Okay.
You want to do George before we go to break?
Sure. George, what's up?
I want to pick up kind of where Todd left off with the pass interference call. Now, I agree that in the rule of what they're calling, that's a pass interference, but I think the league needs to revisit how we call pass interferences. I mean, there should be some stipulation, because I believe if you're too many games are being decided by these 50-60-yard bombs down the field that changes the field of possession and gives the opportunity for the offense to score easy points late in the game. I mean, maybe some of these calls are where there's contact, but the receiver doesn't make a true attempt at the ball. Maybe that's a 15-yard penalty as opposed to a 50-yard play, vice versa. I just wanted you guys' opinion on that.
I think the reason why they made these rules several years back was to see the 50- and 60-yard plays being completed, or if not, the ball was changing to possession to keep the scoring up, to keep the excitement level up, to keep the big play option up. That's why these receivers are so untouchable these days.
Well, it's funny because you've seen recently, and I say recently, not this year or whatever, but in recent years, they've added the holding, defensive holding, 5 yards, put an automatic mm-hmm. first down if the ball's not in the air yet. And that was to kind of address some of that, right? Because before, everything was pass interference. So even if you just grabbed a dude off the line before, the quarterback had even thrown the ball, that was a pass interference, spot foul, you moved on first down. So they've scaled that back some. The problem is some of this is never going to be right. It's always going to be an interpretation of contact and the consequences of said contact, because there's the whole, was it even catchable? If the ball's in the area, they consider it catchable, even though if you could watch a play and think, no way that dude is getting to that ball. If it's close, they're going to call it.
No doubt about it. And if they're going to border anywhere, they're going to border on scoring
offense.
Opportunities
and
offense and points. That's what they're looking at. So hopefully that catches everybody up. Chris, we see you. We'll still get to you, but we got a half hour to go in the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. They'll take you home till 7 p.m. But we'll make this 30 minutes good after we take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, and today, 94.1 Sports Map.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we got a half hour to go on the big show. We got one more call that still wants to get in here on the catch in the Pittsburgh New England game. So, Chris, we'll get to you before we get to any more business of the day. What's up, my man?
Hey, guys. Hey, this is going back to what you were saying about the end zone having a plane and the out of bounds not having one.
Mm-hmm.
So, one thing that I never understood is, if you reach the ball across the corner of the end zone over the pylon, automatically, as soon as you break that plane, it's a touchdown. Like what you were saying, Belichick doesn't want the guys to mm-hmm. do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but if you're on the side or the back of the end zone and you make a catch, if you only come down 1 foot inbounds in the end zone or both feet out of bounds, it's not a touchdown. But when you made the catch, you have possession of the football. You made the catch. You're hovering above the plane over the end zone before you landed. That never really made any sense to me.
Well, but Chris, I mean, it's like the whole rules of the game in football. College, 1 foot down. Pros, 2 foot down. I mean, in order to say you secure the catch, in order for a catch to be official, regardless, you got to have at least 1 foot on the ground. I mean, I can see if you were trying to make the case, look in the back of the end zone, I get what you're saying, but I mean, you got to have feet on the ground because the guys that are going in to break the plane, they've already established possession on the field of play with their feet down, and now they're diving to break that plane. If you, in the case, the scenario you're presenting us, there's never been possession on the ground.
So even when they jump to the corner and after they break the plane, no part of the body lands in the end zone or in the field of play.
Right, but they've already established possession because they're running with, in the case of the NFL, they've already had established catch, 2 feet on the ground, running towards that said pylon or plane, and then they're doing it. Whereas what you're saying is they're diving to make a catch in the back of the end zone, but they never get their feet on the ground.
Okay.
He didn't seem very satisfied by it. But look, like, I couldn't tell if he was, you know, upset. Like he disagrees.
I'll be honest with you guys. I had no idea what that dude was talking about.
I understood what he was saying, but I mean.
So, Barry, he's jumping. Okay, this is the end zone, right? He's jumping in the back of the end zone. The fact of the matter is he's saying as long as he catches the ball and secures it with two hands, even if he never touches the ground,
he's broke the plane
in the back of the end zone.
That's not – no.
No, you can't do that.
No, you've got to be – you have to have a part of your body, in the case of the NFL, two feet or one something else.
Right.
In the field of play.
As of yesterday.
Yeah, in the field of play. And then the ball – it doesn't matter where the ball is. Understand that that is just the line in the field of play. I don't know how else to explain that.
Even if said cheek is half elevated to where you don't know if it hit in or out. I'm not bitter.
Yeah, that was kind of strange. Okay, let me catch up on text. A couple of these are only a couple of these so far worth reading. Everybody else is just, what about this, Brian? Well, all right, Cowboy fan. We've heard that 1,000 times.
I figured that was going to clog the text line. As I saw that and they made reference to Des Bryant, I'm like, all right, Barry's going to be busy tomorrow.
We've had 200 texts and 199 of them have been about, what Des Bryant?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, just got back in town. Any updates on the weight loss competition? As a matter of fact, yeah. We were talking to Todd. They're working on some stuff. They're looking at getting some folks on board. But you can still, if you want to get in, you can still send us your info and we'll put you on the list. We have over 100 contestants already. So you're going to want to get in on this. If you want to, you can text the show 713-780-3776. Just text your name and your email and your measurements, height and weight, and we'll contact you once we have everything. But we're going to get this going for next year. So, yeah, we're still taking people if you want to get in on our weight loss challenge contest for next year. It's good motivation. I'm considering doing it just to have the competition. So
Lisa said she would actually get in.
Nice.
But, I mean, she's already training for a marathon, so she's...
Yeah. I think one thing is for sure we've established, we have to go by body fat percentage, mm-hmm. not weight lost. Because if you weigh 8,000 pounds and you lose 1,000 pounds, that's great. But if you weigh 180 pounds and you lose 20 pounds, there's a big difference. I don't know if that math works out or not. I'm just trying to throw that out there.
No one got to this business because we're math experts.
No, so we're going by percentage of weight lost.
Yep.
Based on how fat you are.
News of the day, by the way, Thomas Davis was suspended 2 games for that hit on Davante Adams.
I mean, it's a Packer, so whatever.
But that's the guy who took the brunt of the blow. Yeah, but he's going to appeal.
That seems egregious. If it would have been a Texan, then okay.
I get it. The whole Richardson, the owner of the Panthers,
who has put the team up for sale. That just came to light all of a sudden.
Now, as of immediately, is giving up day-to-day operational control leading up to that to focus on the sale.
All right.
You got to believe that there's a lot of evidence coming up that he didn't expect.
Who did he diddle?
Well, he's 89 years old. He did something wrong.
Yeah, I'm saying either there's a racist tape of him saying words he shouldn't have or he touched somebody inappropriately or he made a pass.
Now,
have
you guys seen this? Don Sterling is dating.
People were saying that it was sexual harassment. I had never heard the sexual.
Was it? Okay.
So I don't know that for a fact.
He's always kind of had a bit of a racist reputation a little bit, but okay. I didn't hear the sexual part either, but it did come out. This came out all in like a past like 48 hours.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. So it'll be interesting to see what he's got going on there. Somebody texted the show, said, I need an opinion on Instagram. There's a chick named Michi Peachy. M-I-C-H-I-E.
Hold on. Slow down.
Okay. Go to Instagram. Everyone get your phones out. Go to the Instagrams.
Slow down when you spell it.
M-I-C-H-I-E. _ Peachy, PEACHIE. Go check that out. You tell me what you think. I'll give you listeners a second. We'll go to another.
You've seen it?
I've seen it.
All right.
Barry, Joel called you an anal gland. That was from OU Mike. Did you call me an anal gland I was out?
Nick and I were addressing anal glands.
No, I got
dogs.
Didn't we have that conversation already?
I forgot about it, and then he brought it back to my attention, and then I was like, I totally forgot about this, and I still haven't addressed the anal gland.
Oh, it'll be addressed for you if you're not careful.
Yeah. We'll get to the bottom.
Okay. Did you pull up Michi Peachy?
I did.
Yep. Okay. Thoughts?
10 plus.
Pretty darn spectacular.
Really?
I mean.
I'm a 6.
Wow. Really? Why? Because of the face?
because I don't want any chick that can whoop my ass.
Yeah, she does look a little.
She's got a six pack that's nicer than mine. She's got better biceps than me. She's got quads and all that. No.
Yeah, I'm not big on the whole muscle thing.
Me neither.
Yeah, she's not overly muscular, but she's strong.
Exactly. I like my women feminine. I don't.
She's feminine. She's feminine. That backside is feminine.
You better. I think there's.
She's clearly got some work done though.
Check
on
for
her
lumps.
Face.
Yeah, the face is what I would say is.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. But I mean,
check for lumps. That's
so you would you wouldn't.
Nope.
You are crazy.
Nope.
And lying.
Nope. Wouldn't.
You are a fabricator.
I would not.
You totally would.
I wouldn't. Look, yeah. I mean, no, that's not attractive to me. Women with muscles is not attractive. Women that are fit, women that are in shape, absolutely. But because they're still that feminine quality. When a woman is just all muscle, she's in phenomenal shape. She is a physical specimen. But that's not a description that I want attached to a woman that I find attractive.
Yeah, and she does need to change her handle, though. Michi Peachy, I'm not even.
Mm-mm. I'm not digging
it. It doesn't
that.
Even sound cute.
I don't like
it's
it.
Not even.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Nick, you're not kicking her out of bed for being Michi Peachy.
Dude, I'm the first one to admit. I don't think he's kicking her out of bed.
Absolutely, I would.
And the debate will rage on.
Well, I would try. I probably couldn't because she's too strong.
I would lose. She
probably
would
kick your ass into bed. Yeah.
I don't want to be with a woman that could beat me at arm wrestling. There's certain things that I don't know. Because then you know, sometimes you try to, hey, I want to do this position or I want to do these. And then you try to move. I don't want that resistance because then you're like, damn it, why are you so strong? And you can't do nothing with that. I don't know. Not me. I don't like it.
All right. So we've established criteria. We're getting the criteria down.
Can we talk about John McClane's grades when we get back?
Yeah.
Sure. Right. We certainly can do that. We got one segment to go in the big show before we turn over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. Final segment of the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Drop a load on
them. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects. Other news of the day, we didn't get really much basketball in today because of the fact that we were so football-centric with all the big games and plays yesterday. Chris Paul, your Western Conference Player of the Week for a team that is undefeated with his presence in the lineup. As they continue to play, they'll play the Jazz this evening. I mentioned about the news out of Carolina with the Panthers being for sale, and now the owner is taking a step back from day-to-day activities. Thomas Davis, the linebacker, suspended 2 games. He will appeal for the hit on Devontae Adams. Kobe Bryant's, both of his numbers will be retired tonight at the Staples Center in a ceremony by the Lakers at halftime of the game against the Warriors. As 8 and 24, in the first time ever in the history of the league, a player will have 2 different numbers retired by the same team.
Nice.
Yeah, that's big.
Somebody said I need to turn in my man card if a 130-pound woman can best me. Well, I appreciate the fact that you got.
Are we sure she's a woman? Because rumor has it she's a dude.
Yeah. Well, now you're turning.
So I said check for lumps. No, I love the fact that people can appreciate and grasp the nuance of the joke. Good job, bud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Nick, what do you got on this John McClane and grades thing?
Yeah, I'm shocked that. I mean, look, I want to have an illustrious career like John McClane one of these days.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta be looking at his analysis sometimes and just start. I mean, you got to laugh at some of it.
He did get a lot of love from Chris Myers on the broadcast.
That was cool, though.
Yeah, they were. Apparently, he hooked Chris Myers up.
That was cool.
Memorial Hermann
Chris
or
Myers'
Andy Anderson?
Son needed treatment in the medical center.
That was super cool.
And John McClane
he
helped out.
Also gave props to Dr. James Muntz, who's the Rockets and Texans doctor's great dude.
But yeah, I mean, he's in Jacksonville, and you know, Channel 2 does this. What is the name of the show with Jerome Solomon and Randy?
After Sports Sunday.
It's a really good show. Check it out if you want to, on Channel 2 after the game. But they toss to John McClane and like Jacksonville because he's covering the Texans game. Like you're Jerome Solomon, and toss to me, And I'm John McClane. Either one.
All right. We'll go.
Ask me what grades I'm going
to get. All right. Let's up next. We've got John McClane here to give his grades on the Texans. John, what are your thoughts on how they played yesterday?
Well, there's only one grade I can give them, and that's an F minus. And if I could give them a J, I'd give them a J.
A J?
Like you mean G? Like the letter G?
A J. A J.
So country says a J. Like you have to get him to. I need like a like G like gravy. Like what, John? Settle down, bro. Speaking of, I gotta go. They're folding up the media buffet. I've got business to attend
to. I actually agreed with everything he said. I just thought it was so funny.
You do a pretty good John McClane too,
bad.
By the way.
Texas,
I like it.
Texas Sports Nation is the Chronicle show,
and it's a good show
by Jerome.
Because they delve around. They go, you know, they talk Texans, they talk your Astros, they talk your Rockets. So they do a good job.
It's a. I noticed it's all Chronicle people, so it's Chronicle.
Yeah,
Jay
Kaplan was on there yesterday.
They Chronicle
Jonathan Fagan
Houston
was on
sports.
There. Golly!
Yeah, well, Brian T. Smith and Jenny Dial Creech and the crew.
Nice.
Yeah, follow Sports Sunday at about 1:45 in the morning.
Yeah,
after a Sunday night football game.
Mm.
Glad you were up for it, Nick.
Mm. I know where you were watching.
I was up. I was awake, man. I couldn't go to sleep.
Guys, I give Nick an A for effort, an A for effort, because of what he did there late night. That was great.
It's like he's choking on his own words. Like he can't finish saying
his
own words.
All right.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
Kaiser.
My man is a connoisseur.
Of
food.
Oh, yeah. Of course. What did I have for you guys?
I don't know.
Oh. I wanted to talk Clydeisms for a second. Can we talk?
So we're going from one broadcaster to the next? Or are we just making fun of all the
local
broadcasters?
Well, we were talking Rockets for a bit, and they're playing. And I started, we talked about Joel brought up the one where he was like, they've made 49 out of 50 shots, which is
no, the 50-49 Rockets, which means they've almost got 100 combined.
No. But Clyde says something to the effect of they're shooting 49%, which means they're making one out of every two.
Almost every two.
So I started paying. I was like, all right, I'm going to write down just from one broadcast, just the Spurs game. So this was the first one I noticed. When you get the lead against the Spurs, you've got to keep it.
What?
Breaking news. Do-do-do-do. If you get a lead in order to win, once you get a lead, you must keep it. I don't know if you guys know this. Cat's out of the bag, though. If you get a lead against the Spurs, you've got to keep it. And then Bill had a hilarious line on Ginobili. He said, this was very funny. I'm just making notes. But he goes, there's one of the best to ever do it. He's one of the best at the game. There's not much he can't do. Also, he's a world-class flopper. Bill, just hate
him. Kick him just for the giggles at the end.
Yeah. And then Clyde wouldn't let the whole conductor thing go. During the Spurs broadcast, have you heard about that? Chris Paul, I guess he's calling him the conductor.
Had no idea.
No idea.
Yeah, he was like, there was a point where Chris Paul fed Ryan Anderson the three-pointer. Clyde's like, there's the conductor conducting the show. It's like, oh my gosh.
That sounds Bill Worrell-ish.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And then Clyde calls Chris Paul an offensive juggernaut. Like, well, yeah. All right. You can't stop the beard. You can only hope to contain him, was said during the broadcast. So now they're just stealing. You can't stop the
beard. That's an Oberman.
Yep. And then
I did see Clutch fans tweet out that Clyde Drexler gave up on trying to pronounce the Greek Freak's name during the Bucks broadcast.
I was like,
oh, what did he say this time?
He was just calling him the Freak.
Yeah, but at one point, someone got dunked on, and I don't remember who it was by, but
Tariq Black. It was probably Tariq Black.
Tariq Black's dunk the other night against the Bucks was nasty.
Yeah. Well, no, this was during the Spurs game. These are I was on the road. I was in Corpus for the Bucks game. But in the Spurs game, there was somebody got dunked on, and Bill was like, well, you got to know when to get out of the way. And Clyde goes, yeah, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them and know when to walk away. I'm like, are you literally going to recite the entire Gambler song?
Jenny Rogers, baby.
What are you doing, Clyde? Like, it's, you got to know when to run. You never count your money. Like, Clyde, we get it. We got it. You don't have to do the hook, too.
Like, you know, the crazy, thing is, dude, it's contagious now, too, because they were talking about, like, awards for best announcer, you know, all the other things for the end of the year. And then Rondé Barber yesterday in a game wanted to call someone the P word, and he realized he was on national TV and he couldn't do it, so he created a word in the process, and it sounded like this.
I love his toughness. You know, he's not one of those corners that's going to sit outside, you know, kind of pussy, you know, maybe handle and not try to come up and tackle.
He just knew what he said, and he was trying to create a word to try and cover it up, and then it was just like dead silence.
What's wrong with pussyfoot? That's just a word. Just say it. Halfway through, you can't stop after the first half
about
of TV. It.
That's one thing I appreciate about radio, because there's a little bit more flexibility.
Stop. Barry, I appreciate you bringing the show full circle, because if he'd got the foot down, he would have maintained possession, but he didn't get the foot down.
Bro, I got to get some knuckle on that. That was fantastic. That is fantastic. Well, yeah, you don't stop halfway through. Then, then you look like you screwed up.
Yes.
It's like, you don't...
And the word that did come out made everybody just go...
You can't stop.
You stop.
If you're saying the word pussyfoot, you don't stop halfway through.
No.
Then you've blown it right then. You're just
going to sit outside, you know, kind of pussy, you know, yeah. Maybe.
Especially when
he just goes Porky Pig. Can we go to break? No, they're about to snap the ball. I need a break.
This ain't radio, bro. It's second down. We got a game to play here.
Can we dump on TV? No, you can't. You said it, dummy. Oh, that's great.
Okay. That would be another one in itself.
That is fantastic.
All right. That does it for us. The Blitz is coming up next. Barry's here for one more, and then the rest of the week, it looks like Nick and company will take you home with me on Friday. Remember, the big show live from Nick's place as we do our Christmas extravaganza. So we'll wrap things up and put a bow on it tomorrow for Barry, and then we'll take you through the rest of the week into your holiday weekend. For Nick, for Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great evening. Enjoy the Blitz. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.